Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. That beautiful music means that we are going to be chatting it up with members of the Ministerial Association, and it's a wonderful thing that we do once a month at KDWA, where different pastors from around the community join us and tell us what's going on in their church. And we are joined this month by Associate Pastor Joel Rova Hegener, who is with Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings. And we couldn't be more thrilled to chat with him and learn a little bit about him. Welcome, Pastor Joel. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Well, I'm great, thank you. And I'm so glad that we could take the time to talk. Now, I have not had the opportunity to meet you in person, but I have to say, I certainly love all the good things that go on at Our Savior's Church. And I'll just go on record as saying, boy, if there is a social justice cause in the community, Our Savior's always is the one that steps up first and says, how can we help? Did you notice that right away when you came to Hastings?
I did. I actually noticed it before I came in the interview process as I was reading their, we call it in our church body, their ministry profile. I was just amazed at all that Our Savior's does in the community and in the greater world even. And it was one of the things that drew me to come to Hastings and to Our Savior's.
Well, let's talk about your background, please, because you are relatively new to Hastings. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up not far away. I grew up in the Lake Nokomis area of South Minneapolis and went to Minneapolis Public Schools, worked my way through college at Waldorf down in Iowa and then at Augsburg, graduating with my B.A., from Augsburg College in Minneapolis. And after working and doing some types of non-ordained ministry, I ended up going to Luther Seminary in St. Paul.
When you first got a job out of college, what was your degree and what were some of the jobs you held?
Well, my degree was in history. And as we all know, that's a great degree to go out and just get a job with, right? I never really did anything with my history degree. I worked up at a canoe base up in the Boundary Waters as a guide. I did temp work. I did some mission ministry down in Mexico. I worked for a youth ministry in Minneapolis called Lutheran Youth Encounter, where I sent teams of high schoolers and young adults to different countries around the world to work side by side with churches in those countries. And it was along that way that I decided that I felt the call to go to seminary. And so that's when I enrolled and at Luther Seminary in St. Paul.
And what did that call feel like?
Well, I think that really I'd been hearing that call ever since I was a boy. My home church in South Minneapolis, Trinity Lutheran of Minnehaha Falls, I would have different adults or people older than me say things like, oh, I could see you as a pastor, or, you know, when are you going to go to seminary? And, you know, so that gets you thinking. And then as you start to explore, you know, what you're good at, what gifts you have, they lead you in different ways. And some of us are called into ministry and to be pastors. And so, and doing things in my 20s, you know, working up at the canoe base, which was a church camp, or going down into Mexico, or all those things were ways to explore where I felt God was calling me.
Mm.
And so eventually that was ordained ministry. So here I am 20 years into ordained ministry, and have kind of been different places in the country and even around the world.
And how does it work then? Once you get out of seminary, are you placed someplace?
No, in our church body, the ELCA, you have a lot of control. You don't have total control, but you have a lot of control over where you might go. And once your name is given to a church, and that's where you don't have control. A bishop can say, I'm not going to give your name to a church because I don't think your gifts fit, or this church needs someone with greater experience, or frankly, they can't afford you if you have more experience and they're a small church. But once your name is into a church, then it's up to that church and their call committee, it's called, through an interview process, whether they want to offer you a call, and then you get to decide whether you accept it or not. So once my name was put into Our Saviors here in Hastings, it was a process of their call committee interviewing me, and frankly, me interviewing them to decide if we felt it was a fit for both sides.
And when you were growing up in Minnesota, did you ever venture to Hastings? Did you have any idea, maybe preconceived notions about Hastings?
Yes, I drove through Hastings. I knew it was on the river, but I don't, you know, if we stopped, I mean, we might have stopped at some point. My parents love to go down, I hate to say it, but they love to go down to Red Wing and further down the river to, you know, see the trees in autumn. My dad had a potter friend who would have sails down the river. So, you know, I remember passing through Hastings, but I don't have any other preconceived notions about Hastings other than it was a river town.
So when you got the call, as they say, how long of a process is that? Was the church looking for somebody before Pastor Doohan retired?
Well, once the church knew that Pastor Doohan was retiring, that kind of set the whole process into motion. So there was an interim pastor for 5 months in between Pastor Doohan and my arrival, Pastor Scott, who kind of helped Pastor Mankey to continue the ministry while they were starting the search for a new associate. And so I think for them it was, I'm sure they were getting ready for the call even before Pastor Doohan's end date, because they knew that, you know, he announced he was leaving. So they had to put together a call committee and write up their profile and turn it into the greater church, the local synod, the St. Paul area synod, who then started looking through applicants they had who wanted to serve in the St. Paul area synod. So that's where my name would have entered into the process. And I would have been one of, I'm not sure how many applicants they looked at, and then probably one of four or five that they interviewed over the phone. And then because I wasn't here, I wasn't in country at the time, they interviewed me via Zoom. It was actually, oddly enough, the first time I was ever on Zoom. Now I'm on it almost daily, but this was prior to COVID. And so we interviewed face-to-face over Zoom while I was in Norway and they were here in Hastings.
So what do you think your gifts are that you are bringing to Our Saviors?
Well, I think I have the gift of teaching, of leading Bible study. I feel that I'm a good pastoral visitor. I love people. I love having conversations and getting to know people, and I think that's a big part of visiting someone who's sick or who's elderly and not able to come to church. and needs church to come to them. You know, all of us preach in different ways. I think I can preach a good sermon occasionally. Not all the time. I'm not going to claim that. And just the vision that the church needs to be active outside of its own four walls, which is, again, one of the reasons I felt that our Savior's was such a great congregation to come to, because, as you pointed out, our Savior's is active out in the community and in the world.
So, Pastor Joel, you mentioned that you interviewed on Zoom from Norway. Tell us about that, because you were actually serving as a pastor in Norway.
Yeah. So for the previous 4 years, from June of 2015 to August of 2019, my family and I lived in Oslo, Norway, and I served as the pastor of the American Lutheran Congregation in Oslo. So it's a English-speaking, American-founded congregation, and they call ELCA pastors from the United States to come and serve. And so we get to do all of our work in English, although my sons went to Norwegian school, so they're both fluent in Norwegian. I never achieved that, but they were blessed with that chance to learn and have another language then. And my wife, who's actually also an ELCA ordained pastor, was not able to serve. They could only call one of us, and so she did preach and preside at communion and help do ministry in the church, but then she was teaching at the international school there while we were in Norway.
So who founded this church?
Back in the 50s, there were American expatriates living in Norway long-term, many of them because they had married a Norwegian, and then there were the Americans who were working at either the U.S. Embassy or for NATO as military officers, because there was a NATO headquarters in Oslo at that time. And a bunch of them happened to be Lutheran and said, we'd really like to have a church we could worship at. So they approached what back then was the Evangelical Lutheran Church and asked if they would send a pastor over to found a church, and so they did. They sent American pastor over, and he founded the ALC in Norway in, I think it was, 61, I believe it was. And eventually they built a church, which was designed by the architectural firm in down in Northfield, and have been going strong ever since. Although now it's not as American as it used to be. Now it's very much a English-speaking, American-style church, but we had about two-thirds to three-quarters of our active worshipers who were from countries all around the world.
That's pretty interesting. So who do you draw now? Is it people that live primarily in, is it Norwegians, or is it other?
It's mostly fair number of Americans, but a lot of other work immigrants or people who have married Norwegians or who are working there for an international company or corporation, some embassy staff still and military personnel. But we, at one point, I counted up the people that I could think of, and we were approaching like 30 different countries who we had people worshiping with us from. So some of them were worshiping in their second, third, or fourth language.
Wow.
Where English wasn't their language that they had grown up speaking, and maybe it was the third or fourth language they had learned. So I had to learn. I had to speak distinctly and a little bit slower. I couldn't use a lot of American idioms. You know, you couldn't say, now we're going to use football terms or, things like that
right.
People just didn't know what you're talking about. So it was a wonderful experience, and one I'm glad that we took the opportunity to take hold of and go do.
But you decided you were going to try to come back to the United States or Minnesota in particular.
Yeah, we're both Minnesotans. My wife is from just west of the cities. Our boys had... Prior to Norway, we had served 9 years up in the Iron Range in Eveleth, Minnesota. And so that's where our boys think of when they think of Minnesota. And our parents and our most of our brothers and sisters are here in Minnesota. So when we decided that we wanted our boys to be able to finish high school in the U.S., we thought to come to back to Minnesota and what we think of as home. And so here we are. And it, not that we thought of Hastings, because we had to figure out where churches were open, but Hastings is now home.
What an adventure for your whole family, though.
Yeah, and of course, when you're living in Europe, to be able to travel around Europe is so easy. You know, I try to explain to people that to fly from Oslo to Rome is, you know, as short or even shorter than flying from Minneapolis to Florida. So we were able to see a fair amount of Europe on our vacation time while we were over there.
That is a blessing. So tell us about your family. How are the boys doing back in the States?
Well, you know, the odd thing is we came and started school at the beginning of September. I began my call at Our Savior's October 1st, and 5.5 months later, COVID hits and we're in lockdown. So we've been here in Hastings longer in COVID than pre-COVID. So our boys each had 6.5 months in the middle school and high school, respectively, and then been doing much of their schooling at home, online, like all of their classmates. So we've gotten to know Hastings some, but then we've gotten to know Hastings even more during COVID.
Oh, I bet. So are you Norwegian, Pastor Joel?
I'm actually not. Neither of us are Norwegian Americans. We're Scandinavian. I'm Rova is my name, so I'm Finnish and Swedish American, and my wife is Swedish and German American. We've always enjoyed, you know, our Scandinavian roots, and that's one of the things that kind of drew us to Norway. That the Scandinavian countries are, at least for us, very similar. They won't claim that if you go over there. Like Hastings and Red Wing claiming that, you know, they're similar. No, they're going to claim their differences. But for us as Americans, you go, and they're all very similar countries and cultures. And so I grew up eating lutefisk at Christmas and Swedish meatballs. And, you know, I'm a Scandinavian American. I've got those traditions in my background. So it was very, what should I say, very comfortable to go over there with my background.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, welcome to Hastings. We're thrilled that you
thank
are
you.
Here. And thank you for taking the time to tell us about yourself and your family and your past experience. And we want to say thank you on behalf of KDWA as you rotate in as part of the Ministerial Association in Hastings. Our guest today is Associate Pastor Joel Rova Hegener, and he is with Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings, and we wish you continued success. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Well, I'm so glad to have had this opportunity. Thank you, Mo.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.